podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Welcome to episode cinco of the Run, Run, Live podcast, and you may have guessed that I'm having a little fun today by rolling out the Clint Eastwood theme. Come on, who doesn't love Clint Eastwood, huh? Well, maybe not you, but hey, tough, I do.
I know what you're thinking, punk. You're thinking, did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Now, to tell you the truth, I forgot myself and all this excitement, but being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off. You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
This is one of those midweek episodes that you should treat the same way as when you find a $20 bill in the pocket of a coat you haven't worn for a while. You know, it's just free. It's just extra. And I think I can throw in an extra episode every month just to spice things up. If you're new to the podcast, most of the time it's about runners and running, but sometimes, like today, I forget to take my medicine and who knows what'll happen. So today I interview nutritional expert Dr. Craig Conover. And this is the second in my series of nutrition interviews, my nutrition upalooza, as it were. The thing is, guys, folks, friends, I'm interviewing folks and companies and product producers who I want to learn more about. So feel free to tell me who or what or where or whatever you'd like to learn more about, and I'll hunt them down for a call. You know, you really can't judge the quality of an interview by the content or the qualifications of the interviewee. My favorite interviews have been with my running buddies, so we'll have to plan more of those. I'm also quite interested in social networking and internet marketing and all those Web 2.0-y type things. So if I get a chance to interview some of those folks, some of the Web 2.0 luminaries that I brush up against in cyberspace, I'm going to do that too, because I think that's interesting. Last Friday, my friends, Chris Runner went to his general practitioner for his every couple of years physical, and guess what? The doctors declared me overly boring, which is a good thing. I strive to be medically boring. So some of the highlights of my discovery session there with the doctors was the faulty scale that they always use to weigh me, which is always 5 pounds heavier than every other scale in the known universe. I do not weigh 196.6 pounds. And it seems I've shrunk an inch, too. Well, c'est la vie. That may be true. And, you know, since I had to run from the parking lot to avoid being late, and I also had already had my normal 3 cups of coffee to get started, my resting pulse was a little elevated. Yeah, I clocked in at 38 beats per minute. Yeah, I'm not far from dead. So, you know, when I get my my pulse done, I usually have to warn the nurse so they don't try to put the paddles on me to bring me back to life. And my blood pressure was good, and all the other tests, if you know what I mean, were negative.
My God, we've all been victims of Dr. Hartman's prostate exam. Well, gentlemen, the abuse stops here.
I'm still waiting on the blood test. Last time I got that blood test back, and it's like a form letter, and they told me my cholesterol was a little high and I should consider getting more exercise, which I thought was kind of funny because I'm not sure how much more exercise I can get. My training keeps rolling along. The Wonder Dog and I did 10K in the woods on Saturday, and then we did another 16 or so on in the snow over the rail trail in Groton. And the Wonder Dog was flagging a bit towards the end. He's putting on his winter weight. I got to get him out there more. Also this weekend, I procured and installed a new washer and dryer. So carrying that beast up to the second story was a bit of a challenge. I think I'm past the point in my life to do such things, and next time I'm going to pay the man to do it. But I got a sweet deal. I got a front-loading washer and dryer for almost free. The only issue is that the laundry room was my running shrine. It's where I kept all my running stuff. So as of right now, all my running stuff and mementos are homeless. Anyone have a good idea what to do with a few thousand bib numbers, used bib numbers, you know? Of course, Mrs. Chris Runner is pleased as punch to have cleared another pocket of resistance for settlement. So anyhow, I got a nice 20-miler race planned on Saturday down on the beautiful island of Martha's Vineyard. Too bad it overlaps with Valentine's Day, so I won't be able to run the father-daughter race with my little one. So Martha's Vineyard, the playground of the rich and famous in the summer. But in the winter, it's sort of the holdout of the tough and genuine. It's a great course, and I'll try to take some audio. I'm a little pensive because it usually kicks my ass. So I'm going to check in with my buddy Dan, who lives real close to there in Onset, real close to Falmouth, where the ferry leaves from, because he said he was going to wrangle up a trail bike for me for my ultra training. I don't think the family's going to come with me. Take Friday as a rest day. Head down to Woods Hole Friday evening or Saturday morning and take the ferry over to the island, which is always kind of cool. Run the race. Take the ferry back. Drive home or maybe go to my Cape Cod house to do some work. And I'm not even sure, like I said, if I'm going to even know anybody down there this time. So I keep picking up new friends, new podcast friends on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks. Keep it up. That's CYKT Russell in Twitter. And it's Chris Russell. And picture of me standing on top of Camelback in Phoenix on Facebook in Boston. Or just send me an email at CYKTRussell@yahoo.com. Don't send me resumes. I don't have a job for you. All right. So, got a great, strange, and wonderful show full of bits and pieces of things for you today. And now I'm going to start with a contest. So, I'm going to recite a little poetry here. And whoever can guess the author gets to read an intro for one of my shows, you know, the hello and welcome part. Now, you know, I've read a lot of Shakespeare, Thoreau, Dostoevsky, Joyce, you know, a lot of many luminaries, but this isn't one of them. This poet was contemporary with somewhere around the release of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, so see if you can tell me who you think this is. Lions in the street and roaming, dogs in heat, rabid, foaming, a beast caged in the heart of a city. The body of his mother rotting in the summer ground, he fled the town. He went down south and crossed the border, left the chaos and disorder back there over his shoulder. One morning he awoke in a green hotel, with a strange creature groaning beside him. Sweat oozed from its shiny skin. Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin. On with the show.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
Hey, so it's Saturday. I'm out here down by the pond with Buddy the Wonder Dog. I'm going to take a walk out in the ice, take a look around. And today, it's over 30. It's like 35, 36, 37. It's uncomfortably hot. About zero. Oh, there's somebody ice fishing. Good on ya. All right. But whatever happened to snowmobiles? I mean, what is it? It's been a week since we got the snow, and I'm still breaking trail. I'm still post-hauling where the stuff blew over. You know, me and my dog and I, we want to run. We don't want to struggle. So you guys, when I was a kid, we had snowmobilers, and they go out and pack down the snow for us. Now there's no snowmobilers. You get the four-wheelers, which aren't really as good, because they leave tire tracks, not those big wide surfaces. And you get the cross-country skiers, but that track's too narrow for my big old size 12 Winnebago feet. And poor Buddy's just falling through. The other day, I had to wait for him. He was struggling so bad in the snow. I had to wait. I've never had to wait for this dog, except when it's really, really hot out. So, yeah, it's crazy. Where are the snowmobiles? Come on, guys. I know it's conservation land and you're not supposed to be out here, but think of me. Think of me. I'm struggling. You know, yeah, so it's 37 degrees out. I felt like we're in shorts today. But we still got 2 feet of snow on the ground, so instead of wearing shorts, I'm wearing my Speedo with no shirt. Ha! You'll never get that image out of your mind. See, that's why, unlike some of the other podcasters, I'm smart enough to know that I have a face and body for podcasting, and I'm staying away from the video trap. There's no reason to subject y'all to my Shrek-like appearance. So anyhow, yeah, good week of running. Now you're out. I'm still deciding what I want to do tomorrow, whether I want to do 16, get up early, do 16. I don't really need it, because I'm going to do 20 next weekend, so I could fall back if I wanted to. I don't know, call my friends, see what they want to do. And this, you know, this 20-miler, that's, again, you know, I really recommend these 20-milers, because you can practice your pacing, and start out slow, run the middle, you know, basically at your marathon goal pace, and then see if you can kick in the last 3-4 miles. You know, and what most people will do is they'll go out saying they're going to do that, but then they'll go out too fast, try to hang on, and struggle the last 3 or 4 miles. And I do, that's what I do, right? I'll be honest with you, that's what I do. So, but just by doing that, you're going to learn not to do that. So it's better to learn that before your target race. And so it's all good. Buddy's having fun. It's 37 degrees. I'm sweating like crazy. I'm actually listening to my own podcast just because a couple of people said we really liked this episode. So I said, oh, I should go listen to that, because it's really interesting, because when you're putting them together, you're always under a deadline. You know, I do these on Friday night after work, and it usually takes me 2, 3, 4. Sometimes if I have trouble, it takes me like midnight to do these things. But you can see me post them. And you get your head down. You have no idea what the finished product sounds like. And the other thing I realized was that what I think is funny or what I think is good, other people don't. What I think is crappy, what I think is terrible, other people like. So you can't really tell. You're too subjective yourself to know what people like and what people don't like. So, you know, my advice to you guys is saying, I could never podcast. Nobody could listen to what I say. Just do it, because who cares? Who cares, man? Everybody should have their voice in the ether, so to speak, resonating in the ether. That's pretty today. It is pretty. A little bit of wind coming through. Get this warm front. It's going to be a good week, man. It's going to be a good week.
Interview.
Dr. Craig Conover.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I just got back from my sort of semi-annual physical exam, actually.
Oh, cool.
The good news is I have a pretty boring health exam.
Yeah, that's a good thing, then.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yep. I have to go in. I have to tell them I'm a marathoner and stuff before they start taking my vitals, or else
they'll freak out. Yeah, if your heart rate is like 48, yeah.
Yeah, they try to rush me off to the emergency room to put the paddles on me. Actually, yeah, my resting pulse is genetically low anyhow,
is
so
it?
I kind of double dip on it, and wow. So my resting pulse this morning after my coffee and sprinting so I wouldn't be late for my appointment was somewhere around 38. So,
wow, that is low. Yeah, I would freak out if you didn't tell me you were a marathon runner. Certainly.
Sometimes you don't tell them just to watch their reaction.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of funny, actually.
The folks that join us in this discussion sort of remotely are amateur endurance athletes. And I looked at your site, and I really liked the sort of the organic nature to it, you know, because I think that's an interesting twist. So what I wanted to talk to you about, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, I'm Dr. Craig Conover. I'm a board-certified family medicine doctor. But I started this kind of new field called organic medicine, really our approach at looking at health and wellness from a natural point of view in attempts to essentially help people feel better naturally without having to rely on prescription medicine and whatnot. We help them get off medicine. We help them get on vitamin supplement regimens, help them figure out problems as opposed to just covering up symptoms with writing prescriptions.
Excellent.
And I think that, you know, people respond really well. I think, you know, for example, a lot of people, most people, dabble in taking a supplement or a vitamin, but are just not sure what to do. And so I'm able to provide that experience. I have a lot of experience, you know, knowledge base, if you will, in what works, what doesn't work. Even if it's natural, it may not be beneficial to you. You may be wasting money or you may be doing some harm. So I can help people kind of navigate that. And then I started... go ahead.
So I can see on the front page of your website here, it says, as a marathon runner himself. So, you know, you had me at marathon runner. So it's interesting because I've always wondered whether the stresses we put on our bodies, you know, I know they're good stresses, but I'm wondering if they throw you out of balance somehow, you know, and you need to do something different to remain in, not to use a Weasley word, but harmony, you know what I mean?
Sure. Well, the interesting thing, they did a study I read about, it was last fall, where it was, I think it was in Europe, where they looked at marathon running men over the age of 50, and they found that these men who ran marathons had a higher degree of heart disease or having more heart attacks than men who were not running marathons.
All right.
And so the interesting thing is then, you know, you say to yourself, well, I run marathons. I run a lot. I should be in great shape. But my take on that is, you know, running in itself or exercising is a stressor. And when you put that stress on yourself, you're going to increase your cortisol levels. And messing with cortisol is a big deal. You know, so there's lots of, you know, examples like the creator of Power Bar. He was a big marathon runner. He had a heart attack while running a marathon. The famous Jim Fix. He had a marathon. I mean, he had a heart attack while running a marathon as well. And you start to say, so, well, how is that happening? And I think it happens because, you know, for a lot of people, they're either overtraining, overdoing it, and not knowing it, and not, like you said, something's getting out of balance and you know, not being aware of it, not correcting it before it kind of...
Yeah, I think those guys had history of heart disease, too, you know, especially Jim Fix, right? I mean, his father died of a heart attack when he was 42 or something. So I think
family history. But even so, you know, I don't put a lot of stock in family history just because, you know, the way we think about heart disease now is so different than we thought about it 50 years ago, where a lot of people smoked cigarettes and it was deemed as normal.
Right.
And I don't think we looked at exercise and diet the same way. So it's hard for me to interpret when someone says, "Well, my father or grandfather had a heart attack at this age." I don't know what to do with that information so much. I mean, I think it's interesting, but, you know, my kind of conclusion is that what matters is what's happening right now. And the neat thing, though, the really neat thing about it is that we can actually do something about all this stuff. We can actually measure things. We can keep track of, you know, what our hormones are doing. We can keep track of what supplements and vitamins we should be doing and training in the right way. So, you know, my kind of thinking is we want to, you know, train smarter, not harder.
So you're not telling me that my obsessive running is bad for me, are you?
No, I think running is good for you. I just think that you have to, you know, you can do a lot by, you know, being cognizant of what you're doing and being aware that actually running is a stressor and that it's not, and so it kind of jumps out in my mind when I read that study, wow, you know, you could be really healthy and running marathons, but still these people had more heart attacks. And
exactly.
You think, well,
and just, you know, I don't have any medical studies, but I find that a lot of the folks that I hang out with have very bad nutrition, and and they're almost using their endurance athleticism as a hammer to say, since I do so much over here, it counterbalances all the damage I'm doing over here. And that, I think that's wrong, right?
No, I agree with you. I think you have to be kind of complete, holistic, if you will, in your approach. And certainly, you know, if you're eating terribly and not taking care of yourself, but you are running a lot, it doesn't always, you know, round it out so that, oh, well, I'm protected because I run so much. Well, maybe not. You know, maybe not, because maybe you are doing too much stress, or you're running too much, or you're doing it in the wrong intervals. And so I just, you know, like to tell people there's lots of options, and just to be cognizant, be aware that it's just because you run distance running that that's not the end-all be-all for that, you know, being a kind of statement of your health.
Right. And you've got, I'm looking here, you've got a five-phase organic treatment program with harmony, targeting, detoxification, calming, preserving. Sounds a bit 1960s living in the commune thing. And I'm sure we don't have enough time to do it as much service as you want. But, I mean, what's your approach? If you come up to somebody and they want to be, you know, healthier, what's your approach?
You know, the big thing, you know, what I have found is a really helpful thing is to look at someone's hormones. We look at cortisol levels. Cortisol is your stress hormone made by your adrenal gland. These little glands sit on top of your kidneys. And cortisol is really important because it kind of puts out the fires. And what we try to figure out is, okay, if you have too much cortisol circulating or too little cortisol circulating, that you're not going to handle stress well. And stress for people who run is, in of itself, is running. That's a stressor. And so,
are you saying physical stress or mental stress manifesting as physical stress? You know,
yeah, I mean both, like external and internal stress. I mean, however you define it, what we find is that when people don't have healthy levels of cortisol, the external stress, the emotional stuff, the anxiety, makes everything worse. They have a harder time coping. They don't do well. Well, how does this help with someone who's running marathons or even just running long distance? Well, what we know is that if you train and train well, you know, you actually lower your cortisol. Your cortisol over time will be lower, which is probably a good thing that you don't have high cortisol. But some people, they don't, essentially they overtrain. And there, what we find is that their cortisol, for example, we do a hormone test while people exercise and measure how their cortisol responds to that stress and how it comes down.
Sure.
And what we find is some people, their cortisol doesn't come down like we want it to. And these people...
So they're training to the point that they're actually creating stress on their system.
Right, it's too much for them. They need to back off, they need to slow down in how their intensity. They're simply overtraining.
Physically, how would that manifest? I would imagine that would be like, you know, sometimes, I know when I'm overtraining because I get grumpy, I get achy, you know, that's sort of how it manifests, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, those are good, clear kind of, that tells you, hey, something's not right here. Other times, you may be more subtle, you know, maybe just feeling a little bit more tired, have to push it a little bit more. I think the most practical is you just don't feel like you can recover as quickly, whereas you could go running for, you know, 10 miles and then do pretty well. Now you're doing that, but you're a little bit more sore or you're a little bit more tired. Sometimes it's subtle and it's hard to pick up on. But, you know, having that cortisol is a big deal. So my initial approach with most people is to look at hormones, because if we can get hormones balanced, and for men in particular, testosterone.
Yeah, well, my wife's been telling me my hormones been out of balance for about 30 years now.
Well, testosterone, and you measure, and, you know, sometimes it comes back low. And this can have a beneficial effect to, you know, fill the tank back up. If your testosterone is low and we fill it back up by having you take some testosterone, wow, sometimes the results can be magical. People say, wow, now I'm doing what I, you know, 5 years ago I was doing great, and then I hit this slump, and now I'm not doing as well. And many times, wow, hormonally, if we can get those balanced, people say, wow, I'm like myself again.
So it's sort of like the hormone treatments they give to menopausal women.
Exactly.
To get it back in balance.
Yeah, and for men, every man's testosterone is going to peak at some point. They're going to, you know, reach where their testosterone is high, and then it's going to decline. Sometimes that happens when men are in their 20s, sometimes when they're not till their 50s. But for every man, it'll happen at some point. And the advantage of if you go get tested and figure it out is if you replace testosterone, it can have a huge beneficial effect for you. And it makes a big difference, especially for people who are training and you know, if you're in competition, you have to be careful because it's a band, you know, it's a band thing. But if you're not if you're not in official competition and your testosterone is low, to get some testosterone aboard can, you know, have a huge impact.
Yeah, because and you don't want to overdo it, because obviously there's very bad effects to taking too much testosterone.
Without a doubt.
You're just saying put it back in balance. That's an example of one of the hormones that might be out of balance.
Right, testosterone. Exactly, testosterone's a big one for men. For women, you know, it's usually progesterone. A lot in the news for women is about estrogen, but actually my experience has been it's about progesterone. For women, getting progesterone back on board can make a world of difference for them, giving them more stability, stamina, strength. And for some women, too, you know, they have low testosterone. They benefit from testosterone as well. So there's lots of different hormones, but, you know, it's a simple kind of testing that can be done that can have a huge impact, not just from a running perspective, but from an overall health perspective.
So I may be getting ahead of myself, but so do you treat that with diet, or do you treat that with supplement? What do you treat that with?
It depends. For example, if someone has a low cortisol, again, cortisol being your stress hormone, there's a couple different things we do, but one thing is licorice root. Licorice root is a natural cortisol enhancer, and works pretty well to get the cortisol back up. And it's easy to do. It's, you know, again, all natural. It's safe. As far as diet, you know, common reason that people throw off their cortisol, which can then in turn trickle down to messing up their testosterone for men, is two things with food. One, not eating enough. For example, we find that probably the most common reason that cortisol gets thrown off is from some sort of blood sugar dysregulation. And the common scenario I see it is people are not eating before they go to sleep, and therefore their blood sugar can drop in the middle of the night. If your blood sugar drops in the middle of the night, you have to press that cortisol button. You have to sound the alarm so that you can start making new blood sugar. Well, if you do that enough over time, you're going to wear out your ability to make cortisol. So I counsel people they want to be eating frequently, you know, every 2 hours, and eating before they go to bed.
Sure.
And most people don't do it.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I see with food and eating is, you know, if you're eating foods that you shouldn't be eating, you know, we all have foods that are compatible, we're compatible with. If you're eating foods that are creating inflammation, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to be pressing that cortisol button all the time, and that can wear out your cortisol. And so trying to figure out what are the good foods for you and what are the foods you need to avoid is actually really interesting as well.
Right. So I might have a low-level sort of allergy to peanuts or something.
And I think of it more in terms of, like, compatibility or sensitivity. It's not true allergy in that it's not life or death.
Yeah.
But it does. It can have an impact on you over time. You can be eating healthy foods, but they could be the wrong foods for you.
That's interesting. So you get people up on the lift, and you give them these tests, and you figure out what their imbalances are, right? And
figure
then you talk about you talk about detoxification. What's that?
Well, for if we're going to keep it in terms of the context of people working out, exercising, I just think of it in terms of especially people working out, running outside. The biggest example that comes to my mind is, you know, you're exposed to a lot of the elements outside, not all of which are good for you. And so your body's kind of working to detoxify from pollution, whatnot, car exhaust. And that's a process that you have to work through, and you're spending energy doing that. And so sometimes for people, they, through bad diet choices even, or just too much exposure to bad stuff in the environment, they have this kind of toxic load. And so you can help people just kind of clean up their life, drink filtered water, help their liver get back to being strong. Things that help would be something like vitamin C is really good for the immune system, taking lots of vitamin C.
I take that.
Yeah, and there's an amino acid called N-acetylcysteine, which is, in my opinion, the best thing for your liver and just helps kind of keep your liver working strong because your liver is your main detoxifier.
Right. What's that in?
N-acetylcysteine. It's going to be in some, you know, all these amino acids are generally found in protein. Eggs are a great source. Nuts, eggs are a great source of protein. Sure that you get enough protein can be really, really critical. You know, especially people who are working out, they need, you need a lot of protein. If you don't have enough protein, you're essentially going to starve your brain. You're not going to feel good.
Right. Hey, so you talk about yeast in here, too. That's kind of interesting to me. Are you telling me that people might have, like, a yeast infection in their bloodstream and not know it?
Yeah, you kind of have this. A lot of people we see have kind of a yeast overgrowth. I don't necessarily think of it. I kind of differentiate between infection versus overgrowth. Sometimes that's
okay, so this is the thing where if you let your sugar levels get too high, the yeast sort of goes into a bloom.
It can. Exactly.
Yeah, and it has some deleterious effects on you.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah, and so, and you know, we all have some degree of yeast or candida. I mean, we just interact with our environment, so that's, we just have that. But for some people, it overgrows. Their immune system's worn down, or their sugar, their blood sugar, the way they're metabolizing sugar's not in the best way. And so yeast can, bloom and blossom, and we have to kind of grab hold of that. And most of the times, these people come in with a lot of fatigue and joint pain and brain fog, and not being able to think clearly. And approach is, again, just to understand the physiology. If we can figure out what's going on, you can literally individualize and optimize health.
And it's typically a diet-driven thing or a stress-driven thing, right? Or it could be environmental.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're creatures who interact with all those things. So we interact with our environment. We eat things. You know, most people are not eating great for themselves.
Right.
You know, for people who are athletes, you know, your dietary demands are going to be different than the average person who doesn't exercise. You got to eat, you know, and I see it sometimes. People, athletes coming in saying, well, I don't want to gain weight, so I'm not going to eat. I don't eat as much. But if you're training, if you're, you know, into it, you have to eat. I mean, it is your fuel, and oftentimes people are just not eating enough, not eating the right stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like I said, you know, a lot of times the endurance guys that I hang around with, they just eat terrible and they eat everything they want. They just run miles to make up for it, right?
And,
you know, personally, I've always carried 5 to 10 extra pounds. It's my body type, and I've always wondered whether that's bad or not, whether I should make a concerted effort to lose that beer gut that I've been carrying my whole life, you know?
Yeah, and it's hard, though, but it's hard to lose that extra, you know, that last 5 to 10 pounds. I mean, that's tough, you know, that belly fat, it's hard to lose. And so, yeah, I mean, you wonder, is that good for you? Is it okay to have that? And it's hard to say. I mean, certainly we know the more belly fat someone has, the more we think that's affecting, that's kind of representative of what's going on inside.
Yeah.
So the more belly fat someone, we think that leads to more heart disease, things like that.
All right, so how do people, you know, how do people find out about you, find out more if they're interested?
The easiest way is probably just go to our website, which is primary-plus.com.
Yep, okay.
That's probably the easiest. There's a lot of information there. But I think,
yeah.
You know, go ahead.
No, it's a good website. I like it.
Oh, thank you.
Go ahead.
But for anyone, you know, people, you know, live all across the country, I mean, they can, you know, what we do here is very different than what most doctors do, but I think it's just kind of, anyone who's an athlete, you know, we get general recommendations for how much we should exercise, what should we do, how much should we eat, things like that. And the reality is that everything can be individualized, and you can become aware of actually what's best for you and what's your best nutrition, and lots of stuff can be measured, and you can certainly get on. I think that everyone benefits from being on a multivitamin, being on fish oil every day. Fish oil is really, really good for you. It's good for your joints.
Yep.
Good for your muscles.
I take the glucosamine too.
Glucosamine. People, you know, I find fish oil to be better than glucosamine for joint pain. But certainly glucosamine helps with kind of stabilizing the cartilage. But the thing that I've come to realize after doing this for a while is that everyone's different, and you really can optimize things naturally. You can take a good range of supplements. You can eat well. You can exercise, and as long as you're keeping things balanced, good stuff happens.
That's a really good point. The individual is a really good point because, you know, we were just talking about it earlier. You know, my resting pulse is like 35, and that's way outside the bounds. But that's my individual system. That's how it works, right?
Right.
So that's not necessarily a bad thing for me.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Right. And if you didn't, right, if you just went by the general recommendations, you'd say, oh, something's wrong with me.
Right. And all of these tables, the weight tables, the heart rate, all the tables are all averages.
Right, exactly.
Again, across the population, you gotta look at what's right for you.
Exactly.
And take work. Yeah.
So that's good. Exactly.
So what would be, you know, if I said, if I asked you a question, what would be the top, you know, three things that our endurance athlete friends would want to look at in their nutrition and their health, what would you say to them?
I'd say, well, a couple of things come to mind. First, obviously, what they're eating, because, again, I see a lot of people not eating well. They think, like you said, if I'm running a lot, it doesn't matter what I eat. And I think it does matter. I look at more of the content. You know, are you eating the right foods for you? And so, you know, finding out what foods you're compatible with, as opposed to necessarily, should I eat this much protein, this much fat, this much carbohydrate, I think is a different way to look at it. And so I think if you can figure that out by, you know, we do a blood test here in the office, that can go a long way, because as opposed to spending energy on combating the food, you can use that energy to help you run better. So foods and finding out food compatibility is a big thing. I think, you know, making sure from a supplement standpoint, you know, got to be taking a multivitamin and got to be taking fish oil. And I usually recommend that people start at least 2,000 milligrams of fish oil per day and go up from there. Go up from there.
Really? That much?
Yeah, I mean, I have some people on much higher doses.
That's
fish
a big
oil is a wonderful thing. Yeah, it is. It can be. You can get liquid, actually. You can get liquid fish oil, which is easier.
You got to eat something with that, or you get the nasty fish burps.
Yeah, and the trick with that is you can put the fish oil in the freezer, and most people, it does away with the burp stuff. And then the last thing with exercising is just, you know, make sure that, you know, you're not overtraining, because I think the overtraining is what leads to the excess cortisol, not managing cortisol well, which can really mess things up down the road, and people can get into trouble, just like those marathon runners I mentioned at the beginning who had a higher degree of heart disease. So even if you're a marathon runner, it may not be, you know, you need to know what's good for you to individualize things.
All right, great. So we're out of time, but I'm going to thank you
for having me.
This has been very interesting, and that's primary-plus.com. If you want to see what Dr. Conover is up to. All right?
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Greg. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Man's got to know his limitations.
I'm happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. I'm happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on.
Hey, Chris, good day to you, man. This is Jeff calling from Lithia, Florida. We're about 26.2 miles east of Tampa. Hey, got a cool quote for you and your listeners by Henry David Thoreau. That man is richest whose pleasures are cheapest. I thought that applied pretty well to us runners. So thanks for the great podcast, and I look forward to each new episode. All the best to you, man. God bless you. Be well.
Okay, I'm going to re-record this because it didn't have the correct verve in it for me before, so I'm going to see if I can speak up this time. This is a little speech I put together for my folks who work for me last week when we had our staff meeting, and I like to do this, and they're always amazed that I can whip up these little speeches in 3 to 5 minutes, but it comes from a long history of standing in front of crowds of people in conference rooms and last-minute presentations, and also Toastmasters. Recommend everyone join Toastmasters, even if you think you're a good presenter. Toastmasters is a great organization, cheap and effective. So anyhow, this is the little speech I gave. And so picture me in my staff call, and this is how I close my call. Here we are, stuck in the dark days of February. You know, the snow is deep, the sun never shines, and it was 2 degrees this morning. I haven't been warm since November. You know, in many ways, our current recession is like this. You know, just like every week, we get a new snow or ice storm that I have to scrape off my car and my driveway. It seems that every week we had another big basket of bad economic news. So when is the winter of our discontent going to end? Well, I don't know. But I do know that February in New England, even though it feels like winter is never going to end, is actually the turning point. And if you have lived through as many New England winters as I have, you learn from history that when it's coldest and most depressing is also when things are about to change. And you learn that just as winter seemed to come overnight, spring comes the same way. And I can tell you from my experience that it may be 2 degrees this morning, but within a month, we will be having days in the 50s, and the sun will be lingering long in the sky. And I know this because it's the way of the world, and I've seen it before. Everything goes in cycles. And I can tell you from my 3 decades in the business world that people were pretty sure the world was coming to an end during the recession of the mid-70s. And, you know, we had this peanut farmer in the White House, and we had a gas crisis and rioting in the streets, but we came out of it, and the people thrived. And you know what? The news reported last week that the economy was at its worst since 1982. Well, guess what? I remember 1982, and everyone was pretty sure the world was coming to an end. There was a great big stock market crash, and the savings and loan scandals throughout the 80s, and a big couple of real estate bubble collapse, and a host of other ills. At one point, the entire mini-computer industry disappeared up where I live, taking thousands of jobs on the East Coast with it. But you know what? From that same depth, we ushered in a period of growth in the 1990s that was never seen before. So I'll challenge you to think about it. In our world, in our business, in our lives, I challenge you to think of it that we are not in a state of recession. We are in a state of renewal. And those of us who act to embrace this renewal will come out ahead as we always do. So my friends, just as I know there will be tiny hopeful flowers pushing up through the frost in my front yard next month, I also know that our business will start to poke its tender blossoms up as well. And we should be ready for that when it happens. Now you've worked through the hard parts. Now stay with me and join me for the springtime.
Okay, time to pack things up. Time to wrap it up. And another one in the bag, episode 55, Cinco Cinco, Sonk Sonk. I'd like to thank everyone. Thank you, everyone, like Kelowna Girl and Ultra Dad, a couple of Johns, Adam, and several others who have had kind words about the podcast this week. I'm sure I've managed to reset your expectations with this particular episode. So if you like what you hear, and tell a friend, write me a review on iTunes, or send unmarked $100 bills and bags of Krugerrands to my inbox, all right? I had an awesome workout today. I did a set of 7 quarters at fast tempo on the treadmill, and it was one of those perfect workouts that leaves you with nothing left. And the perfect knowledge that you couldn't have done much more and you did all you could. It rocked. So my old truck has decided to make things hard for me again this week. Seems like the heater is out and the sweet smell of Prestone is wafting on the breeze. Now it's running okay and the gauges all look okay, so it's probably just the hose or radiator cap. But 2 more payments and I own this rusty old piece of crap. Come to think of it, that's probably exactly what the truck is thinking. I got my tickets to Atlanta. I'll be staying in the Holiday Inn by Centennial Park Saturday night. Come by and visit. Take me a dinner down at Buckhead with all the professional football players and rap stars. You know, whatever it takes. Love to see you. I'm spending the night running the marathon. It starts at 7 a.m., so it'll probably be done. You know, we'll be out of there by 10. What's coming up on the Run, Run, Live podcast? What new lows will I plumb in the future? Well, I think I'm going to rehash some of my marathon tips for all you spring marathoners. And I'll try to capture some more audio as I'm out and about at races and such. And I promise to be more descriptive, Carlos. Carlos. And I've got some great interviews lined up. This week, I'm going to interview Daryl from I Run In Your Shirt. I'm interviewing him for Friday's show. I have I have my friend and new dad, Kevin, from Just Finish next week. I also got the green light from my friend Dave McGilvery, the race director of the Boston Marathon, that he'll come back on as we get close to the race for a Boston preview show, Cool Beans. Hey, I'm thinking about going after Jeff Galloway and Bill Rogers. Bill only lives a couple miles from me. You know, I'll send him a note. So anyhow, Buddy the Wonder Dog, the Cadillac of canines. For you kids, that's a type of large car that they used to make in a place called Detroit. So Buddy and I would like to thank you for spending some time with us, and we'll see you out there. All right, my friends, I'm going to take you out with some great tunes so you can finish up your run strong. Tunes, take you out. It's a song called My Western Holiday, a little surf music for you by the Antique Curtains. And you can find them at the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Starving artists, give 99 cents. It could be yours. Later.
Thanks for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.